Voters will be getting at least a little bit more information about politically active nonprofit groups and their donors as we sit about 6 weeks away from November's election. The current 8-member U.S. Supreme Court decided not to overturn a lower court's ruling that required additional disclosure, specifically identifying every donor who's given at least $200 to a 501c4 or 501c6 group that advertises in favor or against political candidates. So how significant impact can this have? To learn more, I turn to Richard Brifalt, professor at Columbia University Law School. So, Richard, what does the lower court ruling do and which groups are affected?
Well, this is a requirement that is specifically involved American Crossroads, which was a 501c4 organization. So this gets us a little bit into the technicals of the interplay of the tax code with campaign finance law. So under the law, certain forms of so-called charitable organizations, those that are called social welfare organizations, organizations that sort of spend money on, you could call it public education. They have views on certain issues. They want to get their views out there. Those organizations can spend money in ways that that directly impact the electoral process. These are the organizations that are going to be affected by this. It doesn't regulate 501c3 organizations, which are more purely charitable organizations.
Now, considering we are around 6 weeks or so away from a major national election coming up, is this a situation where organizations will simply not have time to, certainly they can't appeal anything, but do they have time to work around this at all? Or should we expect to see, when it comes to groups like this, more disclosure and thus perhaps we'll see fewer of these independent expenditure ads, different kinds of attack ads? Any reason to think that will actually be the case over these next 6 weeks?
Probably not. I mean, I think what you're going to see in the long run, ideally, is more information about the donors to these organizations. This decision does not affect the ability of these organizations to spend. It doesn't pose any limits. And of course, the disclosures that they have to make with respect to their donors don't necessarily have to be immediately. So it may be that it may take a while for it to work through the system before you actually see any immediate consequences.
How big a step do you think this is for transparency? If only in the short term, could this signal a sea change in some sense?
I'm not so sure. I mean, the court has long supported disclosure of campaign donors. For the conservatives on the court, disclosure has been an alternative to regulation, alternative to limits, whereas I think for the liberals, disclosure has been kind of an adjunct to limits and makes it easier to enforce limits if there's full disclosure. The battle this case represents is defining what's considered to be an electoral organization. Everyone agrees that a candidate is an electoral organization. Everyone agrees that a political party is an electoral organization. And everyone agrees that an organization that declares itself to be an electoral organization, that our focus is on electoral politics, is an electoral organization. What this case dealt with was an organization that basically said that's not our focus. Our real focus is issues. Our real focus is a kind of political education for the voters rather than candidates themselves. The argument raised on the other side by public interest groups that challenge that was, if you look at what they're actually saying and doing, they are to a significant degree an electoral organization and therefore ought to be subject to the electoral rules. So, you know, at best, this is, I would say, not a sea change, but an effort to try and get our pre-existing disclosure laws to actually map on to the kinds of political activity that's actually occurring now.
Then it sounds as though, I suppose, like a lot of things, that it's still open to interpretation, almost in the eye of the beholder to some extent.
Well, it's going to decide what really is a political organization. I mean, that's really the issue. And Crossroads GPS was basically taking the position that they are most definitely not. The lower court here basically said they are. That doesn't tell us necessarily about the next organization. It obviously gives some signals in terms of what are the criteria being used, what do they spend on, how do they raise their money, how do they solicit funds. So it's not irrelevant to the next organization, but it is almost necessarily case by case in terms of deciding which of these social welfare organizations have crossed the line and have effectively become political committees.
How significant a role from election to election does the so-called dark money play. Independent expenditures, those are obviously the ads where we don't hear the candidate saying, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message. How big a difference and how big an impact do you think the so-called dark money groups have had in the past election cycles, the last couple at least?
There is evidence that certainly more money and, more importantly, a higher fraction of money is being spent by groups that don't disclose their donors. That's really what, when people use the phrase dark money, that's what they mean. There are candidates, we know who their donors are. There are political parties, we know who their donors are. And there are even certain groups that engage in independent spending, which basically say we're engaged in electoral activity, and they have to disclose their donors. So it's kind of this fourth category of groups that say, no, we're really about issues, we're really about tax policy, we're really about immigration policy, and we're not really about politics. We just want to educate people about the issues. That's the group that's being affected by this. Most of the money in the system still comes through the first three groups. That is the candidates, the parties, and the officially declared political committees. But over time, a growing fraction has come through these non-disclosing groups, and particularly in hotly contested elections. So you could say nationally it's not huge, but in certain highly contested states, and Arizona, that's clearly one of them, there's likely to be a higher fraction of the money coming through these organizations.
Richard Riffalt is a professor at Columbia University Law School.